Okay. Well, okay. It's great. Really, really sympathize for the guys on AV. Yeah, you do a great job. It's just one of those things that just catches all of us out. So, hey, thank you for all you do. So, back to you, Brian. Yeah, your passion for this thing is infectious. Your enthusiasm is at times a little overwhelming, I will say. Your relentless spirit challenges even me. And, yeah, I pray that in the midst of everything that's taking place, I pray that you would have a few moments and you would hear, maybe tonight, as well as going forward, you would hear God say to you, "Well done, my true and faithful servant. With you, Brian, he is well pleased, really pleased. You've done a phenomenal job. Really phenomenal, mate." People ask me, how can we change nations? You change nations with a few hundred Brians, and a few hundred Allisons, a few hundred Jackies. Few hundred church leaders, few hundred, you know, it's ordinary people doing extraordinary things that changes nations. Amen. Okay, well, tonight you've generally got the cap idea. I'm sure you understand it. I'm hopefully going to give you a little bit more insight into this. And I'm going to really share with you, it's 20 years since we started CAP, so we're celebrating 20 years. And that's made me, as you would expect, reflect on the things that have happened and what is it that God has taught me and taught CAP that has helped us get this far. Because if you can find out what that is and you can name it and you can get hold of it, then it's kind of going to help you as you go forward. And as you'll hear at the end, we've got a massive vision. We're nowhere near finished. So this evening, I'm going to share some stuff with you. I'm going to share some pretty personal stuff as well. People ask me, what's the one thing, the advice that I would give, or what's the one thing that's really made me and my wife carry on? And it is this amazing thing that I'm going to talk to you about, which I'm calling dusting off. When we're in this world, it says in the Bible, which you don't often see on a fridge magnet, it says, "In this world there will be trouble." It's in the Bible, by the way, I've checked. Yeah, it also says, "In this world the good and the bad are caught up in the same net." You know, the Bible is pretty clear that it's not all going to go great, and that life is going to have some challenges and life is going to have some difficulties. And particularly for people who are really going to take their faith seriously and actually start doing something for the kingdom of God, I stand here as a testimony for 20 years of doing this, that you're going to come against some stuff and you're going to have some challenges, particularly when people are involved, as you will see as I unfold this message. So I'm just going to pray for us all, and I'm just going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to have some really serious time with us this evening. If you will open yourself to His Spirit to listen to what He may be saying to you as an individual. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we, every single person in this room, would open their hearts right now. Father, I ask for ears to really hear, eyes to really see, minds to comprehend, and hearts to receive everything that you would have for them. And we do not limit you to speak and to engage with us as individuals this evening. And we thank you for your gentle spirit that will guide us as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's have a look at the Bible. Matthew 14 says this. It says, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. The Amplified Version, which I often use for reference, it broadens the word and it gives you some different sense of the depth of the word. The Amplified Version says this, "And whoever will not receive you, accept and welcome you, nor listen to your message, as you leave that town, house or town, shake the dust of it from your feet." However you're received, however you're accepted, however you're welcomed, however you're listened to, as we will discover, the dust that Jesus was speaking about here is very, very personal. It's from people. Jesus knows that even when you're doing something that He's asked you to do, doing it the way that He's asked you to do it, doing it with the people He's asked you to do it with, in the place He's asked you to do it, that it may not go as you would expect, that you are going to encounter difficulties and challenges. He knows that as we navigate life, that things will come things in our past. People will say things. Things will happen to us that if we have not got the ability to shake that dust off us, it can build up and hold us back in our life. There are many things, ideas and things I've done that didn't work. Prayer that seemingly goes unanswered. Efforts that have not yielded the harvest that I would have hoped for. And, as you will see, times in your life when you may not be universally received, universally accepted, and universally encouraged. For 20 years since I've started CAP, I have lived this message. Anyone involved in growing a church, in the life of being a Christian, going extra mile, going extra miles, building buildings, doing something outrageously impossible without God. Amen? You're going to have some difficulties. Jesus knew how important it was for his disciples and for us who follow on in that line to learn the gentle rhythms of his Holy Spirit, to be able to dust off things in our life, disappointments that would hinder us and experiences that would stop our progress. The kingdom of God, communities that we're in, the poor and needy, need people who are dusted off, who are able to go forward despite what may have happened to them. And there are all kinds of dust, as you will hear. There is dust of disappointment. There's dust of discouragement. There's dust of offense, of failure, of mistakes, of errors, of judgment, of being misunderstood. There's a dust of despair, a dust of abandonment, a dust of loneliness. There's a dust of sin, and even a dust of what I've coined the phrase, the dust of success. So, let's have a little look, okay? And if you've got a slightly nervous disposition, you should be okay. This is what dust looks like, okay? That's magnified. So that's what dust is made of, is looks like. Just to let you know what dust actually dust is. You know, this is the stuff that settles in your house, not your house. I know you don't have any dust in your house. Just be mine. Listen, dust is between 80 and 90% dead skin. I knew you'd like that bit. It's incredible, isn't it, that the stuff that Jesus is talking about, dusting the dust off your feet, actually physically is people. It's from people. That's what it is in the physical sense. And the dust that you need to dust off will generally have come from others or yourself. It's man-made. And the effects of dust in our lives can become really serious. The dust of not being able to get over things when things have gone wrong. Reducing your own confidence when things don't work as well as you thought. You're beginning to withdraw from what God has called you to do because of what other people think. Resentment, there's loads of things that can happen. You can even become upset with God. You can start to be unwilling to risk again. Past failures were too painful. Why would you start again? Relationships that hurt, why build new relationships? Withdrawal, let's play it safe. It's just me, I'm okay on my own. Lack of trust of people. And the effects of dust can accumulate over time. In the natural sense, there are some pretty grim things in dust. Here's a picture of one. Sorry about that. It's only small, and don't worry about it. They've not really hurt you. You're okay. There's some not great stuff in dust in the physical sense, but I want to tell you, the stuff that's left in the spiritual realm of dust left on your life has got some really, really difficult things in there that God does not want you to live with. I've often seen people, I've been walking with God for 24 years, and I've seen so many people over years somehow lose their zest and their zeal for Christ. I've seen the fire of Jesus in their heart become dim. I've seen people draw away from good relationships. I've seen people not deal with issues in their life. I've seen the effects of dust in people's lives. And I believe that it's something that Jesus really wants to deal with. And he's been dealing with me for the last 24 years. And my heart is, as I look at just five elements of dust, that God may speak to you. And some of this may resonate within your spirit. And we want to let you know tonight that you're in a really safe environment. You're among safe people. The Holy Spirit is with us. Our heart of compassion for you as an individual and Jesus' love for you is an environment where you can really open your soul and your spirit and allow him to speak to you. And we don't want to limit what God might do this evening as I talk through some of these elements of dust. And I'm going to be really, really honest with you about my life and things that have happened. And much of this is not in Nevertheless, although some of it is. This is very private, personal stuff, but I just know that it's the right thing. So this is the first type of dust that I want to go mention, is the dust of what others think of you, of what others have said to you, and what others have done to you, or not done for you. Back in 1996, when I started CAP, we were given £10 from a lady, me and Lizzie. I gave my job up. We got married, went on honeymoon, and we started CAP just at home. We had nothing. We were enthusiastic. We really believed God had called us to do it. We'd laid a lot down for it, and we began. And right at the moment when we began, we received a letter. And this letter was the hardest letter I have received. And basically in this letter, someone decided that they would tell me and my wife that we were not genuine, that we were only doing CAP for our own personal benefit, that everybody could see us for who we were, that my past, I'd been working in consumer finance and banking, that the only thing that was the same about what I was doing now is that I was doing it to take money from people for our own personal gain. They even said in this letter that my faith was unreal. And who was I kidding? Because they knew me better than anyone else. That letter was actually from my sister. It took me 2 days to even begin to recover from it. And to a certain extent, I would say it took us weeks to pull ourselves together. And right while that was happening, and this is at the very birth of Christians Against Poverty, we had so many people who unknowingly were so unencouraging to us. I remember showing my little first leaflet that I did. By the way, I left school at 15. I suffer from dyslexia, so I'm bound to make a few spelling mistakes, so don't panic if you ever get anything from me and it's got spelling mistakes in it. And I remember someone, we went to see someone and went to see them for breakfast, and we got our little brochure out, our own little brochure. We're really proud of it. And I'm not kidding, the guy picked it up as if it was like, just picked it up like that and held it away from himself and just looked at it anyway. And you think people are going to support you with that? Really, really, really difficult stuff. We had other people send us letters saying, personally to me, saying, I'm reminding you, John, that you've got a wife and two children, and you should put away this foolish notion and you should go and be the husband you should be and provide for your wife and children. Like I'd forgotten, you know? Just really, really difficult stuff heaped on me. People say the cruelest things. People say the most hurtful things. People don't say what they should. People are not encouraging. Sometimes when you step out in faith, you think everybody will be universally happy for you. But in some ways, your step of faith lets them know that they're not stepping out in faith. Your true belief in God as being your provider kind of somehow makes people kind of criticize you because they're not doing that. And I had two options. I could curl up in a ball and die, basically, and give it all up and go back to doing what I could earn a lot of money doing. But something rose up in my spirit. And I said, the person whose opinion me and my wife care about is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And his word says that you should look after the poor and you should care for the broken and the abandoned and the lost. And we don't have to worry about what other people think about our motives, and we don't have to concern ourselves about what people think about our faith, because we know that our Lord and Savior has called us to this thing, and we are going to be faithful and we are going to be carrying on. And if there's a few spelling mistakes in my leaflet, well, Jesus' Holy Spirit can get over a few spelling mistakes. Amen? We dusted it off. I was reported to the Charity Commission by a Methodist minister who basically wrote to the Charity Commission and told them that I was unqualified to do the work because I had no qualifications. I had no qualifications. I had a cycling proficiency test and a couple of O-levels. But the young people don't know what O-levels are. And we got the Charity Commission actually came and saw me, saying that I'd been reported. I want to tell you, I was the most qualified person to do what God had called me to do. As you'll hear a little bit later, I'd been in debt. I know what it is to be hungry and not be able to feed your kids. I know what it is to be judged by people. I know what it is to take your kids out of the home. I know what it is to not be able to provide. I know what it is to send your kids to school without clothes. I know what it is to be poor. I've been in consumer finance. I knew the industry inside out. I was the man that God had chosen to launch this ministry. And I was qualified to do it. And I just had to take it. I couldn't say anything and pray to God and say, God, you are going to vindicate me. I can't do it. Let it be. And you will be amazed to hear that the Charity Commission did send someone to my house and then sent a letter a week later saying, as far as we are concerned, you seem to be hugely qualified to do the work that you've begun. We can see your experience in the consumer finance is exactly what will be needed to run a debt counselling ministry, and we at the Charity Commission think you're doing great and we wish you well. Bang. Amen. 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 Dust off what other people think. Let them think it. Dust off what the people say. Let them think it. Let them say it. Just know what God wants to say. Oops, sorry, I'm going to destroy the whole set soon. I'll keep going. The second dust is something that is we'll all face. And it's the dust of disappointment. The dust of failure. I've made some really, really, really serious mistakes in my life. I've done some things that I'm ashamed of. I have got things that, had I not found Jesus, the guilt and shame would have defined my life. I know what it is to get things spectacularly wrong. I know what it is when things go wrong. My father became ill when I was 9. And within the next 9 years, I was a very, very poor son. My dad became terminally ill, and I introduced myself to alcohol. I became a very violent, angry young man, a real shame for my father. And then my father died at 18. And the truth is, in the year after my father died, I wasn't the son I should have been to my mum, who had a nervous breakdown, and the authorities came and sectioned my mum and took her away and put her in an institution. I've carried a lot of that over my life. I know what it is to get things wrong. I know what it's like. I managed to do well, get a better, decent job. I was reasonably successful in the world. It all looked good, but I got involved in foolish things. I didn't handle my money well, I wasn't the best husband I could have been to my first wife. I wasn't the best father I could have been to my beautiful 2 daughters. And I lost everything. I ended up basically destitute, living in one room in a friend's house. And I'm just going to pop the picture up of the bedsit where I was with my... it's the one of the... There we go, thank you. So that's where I ended up in 1992. Yeah, pretty grim. 2 little girls struggling to feed them, hounded by debt collectors, abandoned by everybody apart from my mum, suffering with the guilt and shame of a broken marriage, what everybody said about me. Only my mum stayed with me. But then I met this guy who'd met this other guy. I met a guy who came into my life at this stage and showed me the love of Jesus Christ, and he said that there's this guy called Jesus who came for people just like me, who would forgive my sin, who would give me a fresh start, that I could believe again. And he injected hope into this broken guy. And in effect, Jesus's amazing grace flooded my life. And somehow, miraculously, I was able to dust off the disappointing failure that I'd made in my life up to 32 years of age. And slowly, over the last 24 years, my Lord and Saviour has redeemed my life from the pit. Those 2 little girls that were in that bed, in that room with me, I became a good dad. I learned to love my children. I gave back what I'd lost. I built a relationship. I became a decent dad. I got involved in church. I started to live again. I started to believe that there was hope and there was a future for me, that I could be forgiven. And I also learned to forgive myself. And even the guilt and shame that I felt about how I'd been as a son to my father and to my mum, I put it right. I became a good son. And I cared for my mother from that day forward until she died 7 years ago. I became a good son. I cared for her, looked after her. She's an amazing lady. And God allowed me to redeem the disgrace that I'd been as a son. And my mum died 7 years ago of cancer. She knew Christ. She saw what God had done in my family. She'd met all my kids. She was very proud of her. She never thought I'd gone wayward, by the way, but that's what mums do. But listen, just before she died, I summoned up from deep within my soul to ask her a question that I daren't ask her for 24 years. It was 35 years. I asked her what my dad thought of me as he was dying and he was watching his beloved son be such a mess and be so messed up. What did my dad think of his son? And my mum turned to me and she said, John, you need to know that the more messed up you were, the more difficulties you got in, the more your dad loved you. And the more your dad believed that you would come through, and the more your dad was caring, even as he was dying, he was caring for me. That is the love of an earthly father. Can you imagine the love of a heavenly father? The more you do things away from him, the more mistakes you make, the more you fall short of the love and grace that he's got, the more he loves you, the more he cares for you, the more he wants you to draw close to him as you make mistakes. This is the Jesus Christ, my Father in heaven, whom I met 24 years ago, and he has done an amazing work. The dust of failure and the dust of disappointment. The third dust is this dust of sin and unforgiveness. Shame and guilt. I think the inability to forgive yourself is something that locks people up in their lives. And this is where I've worked out, and this is where I came to all those years ago, as I spent 4 years being recovering and God slowly turning my life around before we started CAP. I basically decided, I will not live my future by my past. Amen? I'm not going to live my future by what I've not done in the past. I'm not going to live my future by the mistakes that I've made. I'm not going to live my future by what people have said. I'm not going to let my past determine my future. I'm going to believe what the Bible says, that I am redeemed and forgiven by Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe that God has got a plan for me and a purpose and an opportunity. And I'll tell you what, it's a really good job I did. Because if I hadn't done, I wouldn't stand before you today having seen what God has done in my family, how he has redeemed my entire family, as he has transformed my life. Forget the CAP stuff, just my own life, what he has done. And this is one of my favorite verses in Hebrews 12, verse 1. I just love this verse. I live by this verse. It says this, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. That's the word of God. Cast off, dust off the sin that entangles, and run your race, the race that God has laid out for you. Do not let your past hold you back. Do not let that happen. Allow his spirit to release you. And please learn to forgive yourself. Please learn to forgive yourself. Please accept that you are human and that you are going to fall short. Amen? Unless everybody in Northern Ireland's absolutely perfect. Yeah, you know who you are. Oh, seriously, guys, get real. You're human. You know, he's God. The only man who's ever walked the earth sinless, who will ever walk the earth sinless. Give the grace of God a chance to work in your life. Allow his redeeming power to transform you and allow you to move forward. And this is definitely what I would say is these three kinds of dust. I want to tell you, it's basically what Christians Against Poverty do in thousands of people's life across the UK and around the world. We are a dusting off ministry. Daniel, you're going to go into people's homes that are struggling with some of this stuff. You're going to hear people's journeys of what's gone on in their life, of what people have done to them, what people have said to them. You're going to be hearing of the mistakes that people have made. You're going to be walking into some pretty dusty places. But I know through the work that I still do and the work Lizzie still does, still working with clients, that you are going to be a dusting off machine. You're going to walk into people's houses and you're going to say, Jesus Christ can forgive you. Jesus Christ can give you a new future. You have a hope. You can go debt free. You can see your life transformed. You are going to be a dusting off. You're going to be used by the creator of heaven and earth to go and dust off some really dust-covered people. And you are going to see the remarkable power of God released in the lives of the poor and needy that you are going to see. When we heard of those figures, those numbers that Alison shared with us, and the numbers were massive. Yeah. We've had well over 100,000 people have been reached by Christians Against Poverty since we started, just in the UK alone. That's not Australia or New Zealand or Canada, that's just in the UK. And a third of those people have been so dusted off and so broken and so ashamed and so hopeless with no future that they've been in a situation where they have either considered or actually attempted suicide. That is the reality of the people that God calls to us to help. And again, hear my heart on this. We know of three clients over the last 20 years that despite our best efforts, we weren't able to bring them back. Just three to our knowledge. Each one has been mourned deeply as an organization, and personally, I've found them all incredibly difficult. But when you consider there's been over 30,000 people who have rung us who have attempted or considered suicide. There are over 29,000 husbands and wives and mums and dads and brothers and sisters who are alive today because of what Christians Against Poverty do. In this area alone, Brian, there's a testimony of perhaps 100 people who are alive today because of your faithfulness. There's parents who are going to watch their children grow up and their grandkids. There's kids going to grow up in homes with marriages that are held together, in homes that haven't been repossessed, that are going to get a new life. And you've been doing that. And this church has been doing that. As a church, we need to be in the dusting off business, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And please, I hope you understand my heart on this kind of stuff. I'm not here to judge. I've got no judgment in me at all. I have none. But I just think sometimes we kind of have a little bit of dust that we kind of will kind of put on people sometimes, you know? You know, when someone makes a mistake and they do something wrong, what do you think? What's your heart towards people who make mistakes? What do you think about them? Where's your grace? Does your heart go out to someone who makes a mistake? Or do you judge a person who makes a mistake? Do you add a little bit of dust to people who are already dusted, covered in dust? When you see people who are poor and needy and broken, do you judge them for why they're like that? Do you say to yourself, well, I'm sure I could have, you know, if they'd have done this and they'd have done that, I'm sure they wouldn't have been in debt, or they wouldn't have been addicted or unemployed or whatever. Listen, I've stood in a queue in a supermarket and I've put things back on a shelf with my two girls. I know what it is when your children stop asking you for anything. My two girls stopped asking me for anything because they knew the pain. I could not believe it. And I've stood in a queue and I've seen people tutting at me and I've seen people say stuff to me at the front of that queue. Why did you get it? Get on with it. We haven't got time for you. As I was having to put stuff back through the machine. I praise God that my God is a gracious God who forgives and loves and cares. And people say, why does Cap make the difference it makes? Because we believe that no one is beyond the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. We believe that nothing anybody's done cannot be redeemed or forgiven. We don't care how much dust you've got on you. We don't care what you've done. We don't care what mistakes you've made. We don't care. We know a Jesus who is in the dusting off business. A Jesus who can change your life, who can give you a fresh start. When you look at my life, you've seen where I've come from. You want to see what God's done in my life now. Those two little girls have come through. Both of them walking with Christ. Me and Lizzie, three kids. As a family unit, we're completely put back together again. Completely restored by the power of God. I have not lived my life by my past mistakes. I've lived as best I can the life that Jesus Christ has called me to. And praise God I have for me and for my family. But my challenge is to you. Are you living your life with the dust that other people have put on you? Are you living your life with the mistakes that you made? And the disappointments. Have you got things in your life that are holding you back? Because I know a Jesus. I know a Jesus who can and does redeem, forgive, dust off, and start again. And this leads me to the final dust that I want to talk about, which is our own dust. I'll be honest with everybody. Anybody else suffer from a little bit of negativity in their thought life? Come on, you know who you are. Yeah? Negativity. Thinking. Filling the gap, you know, when you don't know what's happened. And you fill the gap with the worst that could happen. Yeah? Instead of the best that could happen. We so much put dust on ourselves, looking at the speck of dust in other people's lives, without looking at the plantation you've got in your own. Amen? Come on. You know who you are. You know what you need, constant grace and forgiveness. Well, let's give that grace and forgiveness to others. You know, when your leaders don't do things exactly right, since when did you do everything exactly right? Amen? When people make mistakes, are you gracious? Are you kind? Do you reach to them? Please don't let the dust, your own dust, slowly burning inside you and on you. Ungodly thinking. Allow the ultimate duster offer, which is not English, but I don't care, of Jesus to do that. So before I move into the last part of the evening where we're going to create an opportunity for you as an individual to receive some prayer and to do some dusting off, I just want to ask you, when the meeting finishes, which it will in 10, 15 minutes, I would just ask you if you would make sure when you leave, instead of going out that way, if you would go that way into the, what do you call it? Foyer area. The new foyer area. Go that way. There's some drinks. I'm sure there'll be people there. We want to bless you. We want to give you a copy of the story of Christians Against Poverty, my own story, my own life. This is a dusting off manual. If you want to hear about someone who's dusted off, this is the book for you. If you want to be inspired by what God can dust off, this is the book for you. We've got enough to give everybody a free copy. To get a free copy, you just need to fill in the form that you were given on your way in. There's some forms out there just with your name and address. And if you want to help Christians Against Poverty here in Northern Ireland see this amazing vision to get to 80 centres in the next 5 years, we really do need people to support our work with some regular donation. The guys at the store will explain that to you. Please get involved in what God is doing here in Northern Ireland. We'd love to bless you with that. Please don't go without finding all that stuff out. Support our work. We'd love to see that. So, if I could just ask, I'm just checking. Have you got the video that I need? That I've got. You have. Okay. Okay. In a minute, we're going to play a video for you. And I'm just going to pray over you. And I will give you some sort of advanced notice about this DVD. That this DVD, if you will allow it, is very, very powerful. If you will allow it. If you'll open your heart to allow God's Spirit to minister to you in the next 10 or 15 minutes, I believe that there are going to be some people who are going to walk out of this building dusted off by the power of Jesus Christ. But only you can be the person who will allow that to happen. I also know that there are some people here tonight, and we are more excited about you being here than anybody else, who have never, ever sealed the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for them, that they would give their life to Christ and allow his spirit to fill a hole which is in their heart that only the love of Jesus Christ can do. We're not going to limit what God's going to do this evening. We're going to be open to his spirit. There are some people in here, you don't know Jesus Christ, but I'm believing you're going to know in the next 10, 15 minutes that there's someone who really loves you, who wants to be with you and wants to help you see your life be transformed by dusting off and beginning a fresh life, a new leaf to allow Christ into your life. God is in the business of making beautiful things out of dust.